the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
I have officially lost track of how many episodes we have.
Yes.
But you know what? It's okay. As long as you know that you're listening to Rant and Wrestling, episode 100 and probably 75. I'm just winging it. If I get it wrong, I get it wrong. Nothing new there. I am Booty K, anyone half world tag team champions, probably defending that joint this weekend, because I'm going to Otakon with me and my friends if you're down in the D.C. area. Don't stalk me. You probably will never find me. I'm also joined here, coming all the way from the west side. This is Westside Golf.
Yay, yay.
I forgot what belt you own. I think it's a Trios champion or something like that.
I'm whatever one you can buy.
And that's the Joey Ryan belt that he has.
The DDT Iron Man Metal belt.
Yeah.
I'm sure that belt is no more than 20 bucks.
Yeah.
It's got a long, illustrious career. To be honest with you, it's probably more prestigious than half the belts in WWE now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Half. Damn. Got a lineage.
Yeah.
Cool. Alright. Joining us now. He's the Tweener World Champion. Been here since day one. This is Doomsday. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I will be at the Evolve, the first Evolve show this weekend, and the MCW show. So, y'all can catch me at that shit. So.
But don't stalk me,
yeah.
Yes. Very weak knees. All right, so here at Rant Wrestling, we also talk about random stuff, like comics or movies, Trump. We also talk about wrestling. But what are we going to start off with today?
I guess we'll just start off with wrestling.
Again? Okay. It is the show, right? All right, yeah. So what are we starting off with? G1 stuff?
Might as well go through the G1 stuff. Climax 27 is ending this weekend.
Yes.
Before I start, let me just point out a couple things. Evil went from almost dying at the hands of Kenny Omega, which apparently it wasn't a legit knockout according to Don Callis, but he looked like he was fucked up and got cut over his eye. I think I mentioned it on last week's show. To being the first man to defeat Okada in almost a year in singles one-on-one action.
Damn. So, that's how you book a champion.
Yes, Evil got put on the cover of Weekly Wrestling Magazine, well, him and Okada. But it was basically him posing with Okada's limp body. So, congratulations to Evil, who was elevated. And for some reason, I listened to this one stupid podcast where guy was really surprising one. He said he was neck and neck with Juice Robinson in New Japan. I was listening to this shit like, Evil's defeated Tanahashi, Shibata twice. He beat Elgin last year. How the fuck is him and Juice on the same level?
That's how they great things over there.
I like Juice, but Juice hadn't won any major matches like beating Tanahashi or Shibata. What the fuck are you talking about?
Juice? Yeah, I believe in Juice.
I'm in Juice, too. But Evil's farther up the food chain. If you missed it, there was a 30-minute draw between Okada and Minoru Suzuki. I believe it was actually in Minoru Suzuki's hometown. So, I thought it was a better match than their match in February. Especially when Suzuki just kept smacking the shit out of Okada. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Alright. Anything you guys want to comment before I run down these cards about the G1 Climax?
Not at all. Okay.
No.
Alright. On Friday is the final A block night. The undercard matches include a couple of Young Lions, Swole Ass Kitamaru and his buddy, Big Old Boy Tomoyuki Oka, who I believe they have a tag team named Monster Rage now or something like that. So, yeah, teaming up with smaller, popular young lion Harai Kawato versus the Suzuki Gun Unit of El Desperado, Taichi, and Minoru Suzuki. The Gorillas of Destiny, a.k.a. God, have reunited as Tonga Loa has returned to New Japan, and they will be taking on Bushi and Sanada, the All-Japan unit version of Los Ingobernables de Japón, as they both are from the All-Japan Dojo originally. Then we got Kojima teaming up with Juice Robinson to take on the King of Darkness, Evil. And when he won, he actually cut a promo, and the crowd actually went along with it when he did the Everything is Evil speech. So, yeah.
He's over now.
Yep, he's super over. I actually was listening, saw some people talking about it, and they said that in some parts, Evil's more over with the women than Sanada, which surprises me because Sonata's the pretty boy.
Right.
Yeah. Actually, someone said that Evil was actually more over with the Japanese moms, which I thought was funny. But yeah, Evil will be teaming up with Takahashi, the New Japan Dojo unit of the group, to take on Kojima and Juice Robinson. Then we got this massive, awesome-sounding 5-versus-5 match as the Bullet Club, Chase Owen, teaming up with Hangman Page, Cody, and the Young Bucks to take on Michael Elgin, War Machine, and the new junior tag team, Funky Future, of Ricochet and Ryusuke Taguchi. I think their name is Funky Future, or Future Funk. Something like that.
Something.
Yeah. And then, essentially it's just an extension of Taguchi Japan. And then we got Toriano teaming up with Okada against the Tokyo Pimp, Yujiro Takahashi, and Kenny Omega. Muffin asks, who I mentioned on her name on Instagram, the one who wears the bunny ears, I'm assuming she's dating Bad Luck Fale, but I'm not sure.
Hold on.
But she was all over a couple of Fale stories, so really? On Instagram.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
She was feeding him some cake.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
Bad luck. Really?
Wow.
Good luck, Fale.
Good luck. God damn.
Good luck, Fale.
Yeah.
Yeah, she looked very happy to hang out with him. By the way, Yellow Barbie, who used to be his Yujiro's main valet, she still watches New Japan quite a bit. She actually seems like she misses doing valet stuff. But she's a huge Los Ingobernables fan, apparently. I guess
as is everyone.
Yeah, someone was saying she should valet for them. And in some other Los Ingobernables news, apparently Daryl will be okay, the cat.
I thought he got ripped apart? Yes.
Yeah. Well, he was... Hiromu took a picture of him taped up with a bunch of Barbie dolls in a bed. Nurse Barbies.
So he just resurrected him and made him to like a Frankenstein or something.
Yeah. Fale Instagrammed that picture. He was like, see, he's okay. And then linked to his t-shirt that said, fuck that cat. But actual matches. We have Yuji Nagata at 2 points taking on Bad Luck Fale at 10. Nagata finally scored a win by beating Zack Sabre Jr. in a really good match. We have Togi Makabe, who I believe is at 8 points. I could be wrong. Versus Yoshihashi, who's at 4 points. And I recently discovered that Yoshihashi is married to former female wrestler Ayumi Kurahara, who used to work for Shimmer. She was a former tag team champion, I believe, with Io Kamada. And they have one of my all-time favorite women's matches is Ayumi Kurahara and Ayaka Hamada versus Sara Del Rey and Madison Eagle. So when I tell you I like his wife as a wrestler better than him, I'm not fucking joking.
You're dead serious.
I'm dead serious. Ayumi Kurahara was extremely exciting. I actually think I might have made a music video for her once. Well, no. I made some wrestling music videos with clips of her, and I think I was thinking about making one with her for one time. So I watched a bunch of her Japanese matches. But her Shimmer matches were awesome, too. So, fuck Yoshihashi. He should go into retirement. And Yumi Kurahara should go back.
Okay. Alright.
Moving on. I think it's 8-8. Tomohiro Ishii versus Zack Sabre Jr. Actually, Fale might be a 10, yeah. This is a rematch of sorts from the G1 special. I'm looking forward to this match. Ishii had an awesome-ass match with Hiroshi Tanahashi a few days ago. I would put that match they had just under 5 stars, if I rank on snowflakes, which I actually did for this damn tournament. We got Kota Ibushi taking on Hirooki Goto. Kota Ibushi can earn 10 points. I think Goto might actually be at 10 points. Either way, no one has a none of the good matches have a chance of advancing anyone to the finals, because it's all going to come down to Tanahashi Naito, the third match in this year alone. They're both tied, so the winner of this match goes on to the finals. So that is Friday's A Block show. Now, let's get to the B Block show. Our undercard includes Hirai Kawada teaming up with Tiger Mask, Jushin Liger, and the returning Kushida. I don't think he's done any shows on this tour so far. He was in doing some ROH for a while because he's still the TV champion, I believe. They're taking on Suzuki Gun Unit of all the juniors. Taka Michinoku and Kanemaru have returned to team up with El Desperado and Taichi. We have Chaos Team of Yoshihashi, Tomohiro Ishii, and Hiroki Goto taking on Bullet Club B Team, the B Plus Team of Chase Owens, Yujiro Takahashi, and Tonga Loa. Then we got Nagata teaming up with Makabe versus Zack Sabre Jr. and the other member of Suzuki Gun I haven't actually watched in a long time, Takashi Uzuka, whatever. And then we have kind of a replay of that five-man match, except they replaced Elgin with Katsuyori Kitamaru, and they replaced one of the guys with Bad Luck Fale. So yeah, it's Kitamaru, Ricochet, Taguchi, War Machine versus Fale, Young Bucks, Hangman Page, and Cody. Then we got David Finlay teaming up with Kota Ibushi, Hiroshi Tanahashi taking on Tetsuya Naito, Ibushi, and Hiromu Takahashi. Now the matches. We got Elgin at 6 points, looking to score is 8 points. He beat Suzuki, so he beat two of the champions in his block. He's looking to beat Juice Robinson, who had that upset win against Kenny Omega. So Juice is looking to get 6 points. Elgin is looking to get 8 points. We got Tama Tonga, who's looking to get the hell out of 6 points and score 8 against Sonata, who's sitting at 8 points. We have Toru Yano versus Suzuki. Toru Yano is at 6 points too. Suzuki is at 9 points because of the draw. And then we have Kojima taking on Evil. Kojima's only scored one victory this tournament. That was against Sonata. And then we have the main event. The winner of this will go on because you have Okada at 13 points and you have Kenny Omega at 12. Kenny Omega has to win this match to advance. If he draws or loses, or apparently if you do have a double countout, no one gets any points. So, yeah, he has to win this match to advance.
And do you think he's going to win?
I guess in all likeliness, it sounds like it's probably going to be Naito versus Omega, but I would not be surprised to see Tanahashi versus Omega. I think Omega will win. I'm not so sure about Naito or Tanahashi. Naito seems like the smart choice, but, you know, who knows with New Japan? They might twist it at the last second.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, and this is all we know for the finals. Obviously, we will have the finals, which will be an unlimited, a no-time limit match. But the two matches that have been announced are your junior heavyweight tag title match of Ryusuke Taguchi and Ricochet taking on the Young Bucks, and War Machine taking on another Bullet Club team, Cody and Hangman Page. I would not be surprised to see some more, at least one or two other singles matches. Zack Sabre Jr. was taunting Tenzin, so who knows? Maybe we'll get a Zack versus Tenzin match, or Zack Sabre Jr. teaming up with one of the Suzuki Gun guys to take on Tenkozy. Yeah, I don't know why. I guess him and Desperado had a tag match against Tenzin and one of the young Lions, and he was interacting with them. But for now, that's all we have for the card, and they will no doubt update the card after. Well, I don't know if they're going to actually post the card after Saturday's show. They might just keep everything most of the show a surprise until the day of. So there you have it. We are almost done. And when it's over, I will run down all my shit, because I've been keeping track of this on my one of my blogs, including my ratings for every match. Which, so far, Okada versus Elgin is my favorite match of the tournament. That's it.
All right. And I'm going to pass it over to Doomsday, because he knows wrestling, too. about probably Raw and SmackDown, unless you want to talk about whatever you want.
Yeah, I'm going to go run down this shit real quick. Yeah, they were in the terrible country of Canada this week, so they were touching down in Toronto and whatnot. The worst city that thinks they're an American city, but they're not. So fuck them. But anyway, Miz TV went down. Kurt Angle came out after Miz demanded that Jason Jordan come out. Instead, he gave him Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar decided to destroy all three of the Miz and Miztourage. After that, shit went down with Sheamus versus Seth Rollins. Sheamus ended up picking up the victory. Then they beat Seth Rollins' ass. Dean Ambrose never came out.
Don't trust him, yo.
Yep. Jason Jordan faced Jean-Pierre Goulet.
Who?
Jean-Pierre Goulet is like a, is a local jobber from Quebec. I think they were in Montreal. Yeah, Montreal, Quebec. I think for Raw, and I think SmackDown was Toronto. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway,
all Canadians are the same. Is that what you're saying?
I don't give a shit. French Canadian, English Canadian. I don't really give a shit.
Canadian.
But yeah, Jason Jordan was basically the heel for this because, of course, they're gonna root for the Canadian. Which I don't know if is a good or bad look for him to do that. I don't know because I don't know because are they trying to push him as a baby face? Like, I don't get it.
It's WWE. They don't know who they're pushing.
Fucking hell. I don't know. Bayley addressed her injury. Basically said she wouldn't be able to compete for SummerSlam because, of course, she fucked up her shoulder. And while all of that was going down, some fans were booing. It was really fucked up. But, of course, they announced that there would be, like, a sort of, like, kind of mini tournament thing, I guess. Two 3-on-3s, two triple threats. And then the winners of those triple threats would move on to face each other to become number one contender to face the champion, Alexa Bliss, at SummerSlam. So this was night one. It was Sasha Banks versus Alicia Fox versus Emma. Emma had a decent showing. Alicia Fox was getting her ass kicked, but of course Sasha Banks ended up picking up the victory. There's a whole bunch of bullshit backstage. Enzo and Big Show faced Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson. Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson ended up picking up the victory, of course, because Big Cass showed up. Big Cass ended up fighting Big Show and Enzo, whatever. Some shit went down with Bray Wyatt and Finn Balor. I don't give a shit about Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose.
Is it because of Bray Wyatt, or you just really just don't care?
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
Man, but it's Finn Balor.
Yeah, I don't care.
Man.
What was it? Dean Ambrose faced Cesaro. He actually beat him. Then he was getting his ass kicked and ended up getting saved by Seth Rollins, but as Dean Ambrose started to warm up and put his fist out for a fist bump for some daps and pounds.
Word.
Seth Rollins is like, nah, fuck you, since you didn't show up for me.
fine.
And then Akira Tozawa faced Arya Daivari. Akira Tozawa won. Titus Brand, Titus Worldwide, is still going strong. Second match of the triple threats, Mickey James versus Dana Brooke versus Nia Jax. Of course, Nia Jax killed both of them. After that, there was a Goldust thing I didn't care about.
I saw that. I didn't really care about that much either.
Yeah, and then Last Man Standing between Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman was pretty dope. It was good. And then, of course, Samoa Joe had to rear his ugly fat head in it. Hit him with the coquina clutch, Roman Reigns. And Braun Strowman actually won because of that. And, yeah, that was it. For Raw.
That was Raw.
Yeah, SmackDown happened. One thing to note in SmackDown, Cal Penn, the actor Cal Penn, okay, apparently he was backstage because he was a personal guest of Jinder Mahal. So you could see pics of him and Mahal and the Singh brothers backstage and shit on Twitter and all that stuff. Cal Penn's an interesting cat, man. That dude is an actor. He was actually on Obama's cabinet for a while. That's a really interesting life to live, you know? It's crazy. But anyway, Andy's an Indian dude, so. Well, Indian American, so. It's
a modern day, another modern day Maharaj.
Yeah, man. John Cena had a promo. It was a little awkward. I really didn't give it too much shit for it. Baron Corbin came out, and John Cena called him skinny fat. You know how they used to call CM Punk.
Yeah,
skinny fat. And then he pointed to a poster in the crowd that called Baron Corbin a dumpster fire, and then basically everybody was starting to chant dumpster fire at him. And yeah, that's kind of fucked up.
You're doing a great job of booking him until he becomes a champion. Aren't
yeah,
they?
Right. And then after that, Usos came out. Of course, they got their remix theme going, and they faced some Canadians in Canadia Land. Ty Dillinger and Sami Zayn. Of course, the Usos had to win that shit after they broke. Broke Ty's knee and hit him with that tequila sunrise. After that, New Day came out of nowhere and jumped the Usos.
That's nice to do, right?
Yeah, man. They ain't give a shit anymore. But Usos eventually escaped it. After that, they had some other shit with Randy Orton that I don't give a shit about.
Who do you not give a shit about more?
Raw.
No. Bray Wyatt or Randy Orton?
Oh, Bray Wyatt, of course.
Oh, okay.
Actually, shit. Oh, Bray. No.
Okay, I thought it was going to be Ambrose. You know, y'all don't like him.
At least his character is somewhat interesting.
Are they talking about Dean going heel?
I don't fucking know. But anyway, after that, of course, they had more fashion files. This time they continued on with the Fashion Peaks thing. He was looking for Dango. Ended up finding Dango. But yeah, he was normal, but with a tie on his head, because he's basically portraying Agent Cooper in Twin Peaks, and you know how they have the return going on that 18 episodes, and they even joked about how it's gonna take 18 episodes for Agent Cooper to basically become Agent Cooper again, because like it's all convoluted, a whole bunch of weird shit going on that like Agent Cooper isn't himself anymore. Whatever. But, anyway, so he found Dango, and then Dango slipped up, and I think he talked about some anal probing. Like, he got abducted by aliens, and they anal probed him. I think he realized he slipped up, and he was trying to go, and then he tried to say something about another probe, but it was already too late. But, then they were talking about Tully the horse, getting destroyed ended up being Arn Anderson, who destroyed Tully the Horse because he was quote-unquote the hoss of the Four Horsemen, not Tully Blanchard. After that, Lana faced Charlotte. You know how that shit went. I don't even have to answer that one.
Wait, hold on. Did Lana at least look decent?
No. No, she got okay. Ass beat. Like, she got, like, her head knocked off. And then hit with a figure eight. Which I'm surprised. I don't know why they got her head knocked off, then applied a figure eight. I don't know. Could have went for natural selection. Anyway, whatever.
Right. Maybe she wanted to break her legs, too, so she wouldn't have to wrestle.
I don't
know. I would break her legs so she wouldn't have to wrestle. That's smart.
But before all that, they were talking, like, apparently Lana was talking to Tamina and said that she admired her for her strength and blah, blah, blah. But she wanted to be more than that. She wanted to be a prettier, more charismatic version of her, some shit like that or whatever. I don't get it. After the loss, there was a whole discussion between those two, basically saying that part of the reason why Tamina is with Lana is because she has some sort of drive that gets her to get her what she wants, and that's what she needs, her ambition or some shit. Because you know how Lana somehow ended up in 3 fucking title matches. Tamina can't get one, so she's like, shit, I need what you got.
Right.
But after that, Shane McMahon discussed things with Kevin Owens and AJ Styles. Of course, they played back Shane McMahon's greatest hits, like the incidents with him and AJ Styles, and of course, Shane McMahon's past as a referee screwing over guys, so things ended up not working out well. Kevin Owens hit AJ Styles. AJ got blindsided and hit a Pele kick on Shane McMahon, and that's how all hell broke loose on that one. After that, you had Carmella versus Naomi. Decent match. Naomi was dominating for most of it, but when she was definitely about to go for the finish, out comes James Ellsworth. Yes. Ew. He comes out, knocks her off the top ropes. Carmella hits her with a super kick and pins her for the 1-2-3. After that, Natalya basically warned Carmella to stay away from everything with her, especially with Ellsworth. After that, Jinder Mahal faced Randy Orton, and I completely ignored this match. I don't know, apparently Randy Orton won, which is surprising because Jinder Mahal's been on a hot streak, and of course he has the Singh brothers, but he won, I guess.
What happened with Kali? Is he still around, or that was like a one-time thing?
I think it was a one-time thing, because he hasn't been around since.
Huh. Fine. I'll take it.
Yeah, but that was SmackDown. That was SmackDown.
All right. I was seeing pretty fast.
Enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah. He hates wrestling. Yo, definitely hates wrestling.
Yo, I hate weekly wrestling. Well,
because there's a lot of it and there's no incentive to watch it.
Like, I hate Raw and SmackDown to an extent. I watch NXT all the time and I'm fine because it's a good, like, hour that I can bang out.
Yeah. I wish I could find an easier way to watch all Lucha, killer, no but filler. I don't even know if Lucha is, like, even a thing to watch anymore.
I don't know.
Apparently, the tournament they've been running was good, and I had to start taping it, but I had to miss the show, and then I'm like, fuck it, I just don't feel like going back. Because the guy, one of the Lucha blogs, said that it's finally gotten good, and I'm like, well, I got 4 shows, and I missed 2. I don't know if I really want to try to download anymore now. They killed it.
Like, I haven't heard any, like, this is a good match coming from out of Lucha Underground, you know?
Yeah, that...
I didn't hear that yet. And I know they probably are, but
That extended thing, like, they had to put that fucking break while the show was in a downturn, and it just kind of killed a lot of enthusiasm. Huh. I mean, I'll probably watch it when it hits Netflix to see what I missed, but I just can't feel the... And, I mean, and plus I'm watching fucking all this G1 Climax shit every week, yeah, too, so... Not feeling it.
Not feeling it at all.
This is how we start bearing off to talking about something else. Because we ain't feeling it. But SummerSlam is coming around. NXT ain't really... I mean...
Takeover.
Takeover is coming too. But like how NXT was back then, it was like way more hype. And this is the Brooklyn show. And they always have like a fun time there. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't feel as hype as it used to. Now, the last show, what was it, Chicago? That was an awesome show. That was an awesome show. Oh, nothing wrong with it. Probably one of their better shows, like, in a long time. But, I don't know, man.
I think it's a lot of things. I mean, like, I'm not even hyped for Battle of Los Angeles. And I'm sure it's going to be great. Like, what? And I have, like, the last PWG DVD that came out. I still have it wrapped because I just don't feel like opening it. I think it's, you know, I'm seeing all the indie guys I like. Well, not all of them. A bunch of them are moving on, possibly to WWE, or they're wrestling, like, smaller indie promotions I don't feel like trying to go out of my way to watch. Yeah. I mean, WWE's been, I mean, those last couple SmackDowns pay-per-views have been pretty lackluster. They had good matches, but they end on such a terrible note.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of hurt, too.
Yeah. Like I said, that Chicago show, it ended really well. With the turn of Gargano and Ciampa.
Yeah. NXT's been on point. I just think a lot of the other stuff has just been kind of... Well, except for maybe the Japanese stuff, but everything else seems to be very transitional now. I mean, like I said, Battle of Los Angeles is going to be another... I think they're premiering like 4 or 5 new British dudes. Oh, speaking of European wrestling, the Kingdom Trios, one of the teams has Jeremy Flesh and Johnny Storm from early 2000s indie wrestling.
Oh my god. Where did they find them? Wait, how many people from, that's supposed to be 3 from Trios, right?
Well, yeah, there's another guy named Jeremy Moss, who I guess was kind of a buzz guy in the early 2000s. I don't remember.
Hold up. You said Jody Flesh?
Jody Flesh, yes.
Jody Flash.
Oh, Flash. We brought him up a couple months ago.
Yeah, Jody Flash.
I don't know if you guys remember Johnny Storm. He was part of that, too.
Yeah,
he
came over with him. I remember him.
And then a guy named Jeremy Moss. They're going to be one of the trios. Yeah.
I like those guys.
Yeah, I like
first
them then.
Ring
I don't
of
know
Honor show
now.
Type guys.
Yeah, they're announcing the match lineups right now for King of Trios. The... Gonna be interesting. I'm actually hoping that it's gonna end up being Team Sendai Girls versus House Strong Style, aka Mustache Mountain, and WWE UK Champion Pete Dunne. I want to see them wrestle. I want to see fucking Pete Dunne in the ring with Satomura.
And that would be fun.
Yeah, it wouldn't be I saw the lineup, so it wouldn't be one of the finals, but it could be like a semifinal. That would be an interesting match. But, I'm just not really that hyped. Other than the G1 Climax, I mean, New Japan's doing pretty big things. I know Big Japan, some of it, what I'm watching is pretty good. I didn't watch the 717 show, which is supposed to be really good. But I like their champion right now, is supposed to be really Hideki Suzuki. He's really good.
Now, I know y'all don't watch the World Culture, but they are having their tournament, I believe, in like 2 weeks.
And which tournament is it?
This is their first annual like World Cup they're having, the Pro Wrestling World Cup, and they spanned it over 3 nights. And I like how they had their system of having qualifiers from all over the world. Because normally, like for Battle of Los Angeles or you know the King of Trios or the Super Strong Style 16 tournaments, they just grab and go and be like, this guy is going to be in there, this guy is going to be in there, this guy, and this guy. They actually found people that I'd never even seen, and I was just like, oh, you know, these guys, these randoms, they're pretty good, you know? I never heard of Bad Bones or Kenny Williams or something like that, but they're pretty good. They're not like Kota Ibushi or Ricochet or Okada, all those like top-tier guys. But it's still nice to see new talent. It's always nice to see that. And you never know, because, you know, Vince is looking, Triple H is looking, and they're like, okay, we can probably bring this guy. And you know they like to bring the European wrestlers over now because they just had that UK tournament.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that, now that that World Culture is doing their World Cup tournament thing, they have a whole bunch of people from, like, even, like, TNA guys and stuff like that. I think James Storm is in there, too. You know, and Moose was one of the qualifiers. It's just really nice to see that they're just out there doing something kind of different. And they also have their show back, their YouTube show back.
I think there's been some changes to the YouTube thing, but I think there's still some monetization problems.
Yeah. Uh-huh. They probably found sponsors and shit, because that's what a lot of YouTube people are doing nowadays. Like, besides like Patreon that have fans like donating on a regular basis, basically most of their money is like merch, Patreon, or like brands like sponsoring them, and of course they advertise those brands post video or show or whatever. So I wouldn't be surprised that they found a few brands or something like that to get themselves afloat, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know, the Texas Wrestle Circus does the shows on Twitch and does the tip jar thing, too. So everyone's got a... So some of these companies got plans. The ones that are a little lower, I guess, lower than, you know, like AAW or PWG, the ones that might need that extra revenue stream. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just looked at the What Culture thing. That's interesting.
Yeah, like, and I got the whole bracket for it down, so I hope we can book this thing correctly, because there's some people I don't know.
I guess I forgot to write down your guys' predictions for the G1, the last of the G1 tournament. Did we want to do that for those last two shows?
Man, it don't even matter.
Because, then, essentially, who do you think, did you guys have your prediction for who would win the A block, who would win the B block, Tanahashi or Naito for A block, and then Okada Omega for B block?
Who was in there last year? Was it?
It was Omega Naito? Goto were the finals.
Oh, Goto was there? Wow, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was Naito. That's why I was like, nah.
No, Naito and Omega were the main event on the B block last night. It was the one where everybody thought Naito would win because he was winning in points, but technically Omega beat him, tied the block, and because he beat Naito, he went on to the finals.
Let's
see. That was him and Omega's first 5-star match from Dave Meltzer.
And I'm probably going to say it's not going to be Tanahashi or Okada. I think we had enough of that. I would say.
So you're doing a Naito Omega too?
Probably. If not Naito Omega, Naito Okada.
Yeah. What do you think, Doomsday?
I'm going to go Naito Okada.
Alright.
Yeah, I'm going to say Naito.
I'm going to be weird and say Tanahashi Omega. Because those two still haven't actually had a second match in a long time.
Yeah, I haven't seen them fight in a while.
Yeah, they were supposed to have that ladder match, but Tanahashi was injured.
And it's not like I don't want to watch Okada fight either one of these two. I just wanted to see something different, you know. Naito and Omega seems a bit different. Even actually more different. Tanahashi and Omega. So now since you brought that up,
yeah,
that might be something to look into, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you can kind of skip Okada because chances are whoever wins of the other three are going to face Okada at Wrestle Kingdom anyway. Oh, I don't think Okada's losing the title before Wrestle Kingdom.
No. They wouldn't dare do that. Yeah.
No,
so.
He has to beat the longest running single reign. He's already number two, so.
Yeah, Tanahashi's number one, right? Because Tanahashi won the belt like six times.
Seven
times? Yeah, I knew he won it a lot, yeah.
Yeah, but Okada's sort of overtaken him for the longest combined reigns.
Yeah, and that's just as good. That shows that you didn't lose that much.
Yeah. So. I think one of the reasons is that the time when Tanahashi was holding the belt so much, there really was only the heavyweight title during a lot of his run. So he would lose it, and then they would build the chase for him to get it back. Now, because they got the IC title and the never open weight title as well, and now the U.S. title, they can, you know, do someone else losing the belt and then doing a story of someone chasing that other title. So they can keep the belt on Okada longer.
Right. Because Tanahashi's still champ.
Yeah. So that's something that WWE really needs to look into. Learning how to, you know, occasionally spotlight one of the other titles a little better.
They are thinking about other things other than those props that they keep carrying around. They ain't thinking of nothing like that. If that was the case, then that would be a wrestling company.
Well, yeah. And, I mean, another thing they could learn is, my understanding is when New Japan takes note of who's over in which city and kind of slightly book around that. That's why you have like Los Ingobernables guys usually headlining in Osaka, because they are super over in Osaka, which is weird because like 3 years ago, Osaka fucking hated Naito. So, but they book shows around a lot of time, the big shows a lot around where they are. I feel bad for Goto though. He gets no love in his city, but at least he's better off than Taichi. But, right. Yeah, you'd think WWE would do that, except when they go to somebody's hometown, they like to have them lose. And it's like the opening match.
They do, man. That's just what they do. They're not thinking about that stuff. They're thinking about bringing Kyle Lee in here and thinking about Brock Lesnar dropping the belt because he got a UFC fight against, what's his name, John Jones?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's going to happen. So, they're just not anything. Now, NXT, on the other hand, they highlight their championships, what, like, every year? Like, when they first started to do the TakeOver shows, it was about the NXT championship. The tag titles was pretty irrelevant at that time. Then they started focusing on the NXT Women's Championship, and it felt like the NXT title felt kind of irrelevant when Finn Balor had it and Kevin Owens had it. And the tag team title still was really irrelevant. Now the tag titles were really important since the Revival had them, and American Alpha and Ciampa and Gargano. You know, so they kind of switch out the focus of each title, like, each year. So they know what they're doing down there. It's just main roster, they're different.
Yeah.
They don't care.
I mean, right now, Asuka is really the focus of NXT, it feels like.
She has not lost. And I think she would have lost that belt at WrestleMania. Well, not WrestleMania, was it? When did she face Ember Moon?
I think it was WrestleMania weekend, was it?
I think it was a little bit after WrestleMania weekend. I think. Because it was that three-way that she had with Nikki Cross and
Ruby Riott?
Yeah. I think that was when she was going to lose the title if Ember Moon was there. I think she would have lost it there. But since she won it, and then she broke records, and they just was like, you know what, let's just keep it going. It's going to be good when Ember Moon finally beats her. It's going to be good for her because it's going to raise her stock a bit. You know, but, yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. And what happened with the Cassius Ohno thing? Because I hear he's not going to be at the next NXT takeover, because I thought he was going to wrestle Hideo Itami.
I think they wrestled on NXT already.
Did they?
I think. I know. What is the card for that?
I don't think they have yet.
So, do you know what happened to Ohno? He seemed to have dropped off.
I don't know. Like, he's still in a feud with Itami, though. But like, in a way. But now it's more Itami versus Aleister Black. that looks like it's going to be happening at TakeOver.
Did you see that match with Alistair Black? Right,
I guess they wrestled a couple weeks ago, Ono versus Atami.
Who won that match?
Do you know?
Shit, I forgot. I think it was Ono by DQ.
I only watched the special now. I've been thinking about going back to watching the single show. I mean, I was just curious because, you know, it's Atami versus Alistair, which might actually be a pretty good match. And it looks like they're finally making Hideo Itami the jackass he should be in the ring.
Yeah, because I don't think they're gonna boo him like most people want him to. Because people still like him, he's still gonna be a badass. They're like, not gonna boo Bobby Roode because of the theme song.
Yeah, I just always think that Tommy works better playing more of a heel type character.
Yeah. Now, Cassius Ohno, he can work as a good face. He's pretty popular. I guess he's not going to be on TakeOver. Unfortunately, doesn't seem like he is. Andrade almost is, but I like his gimmick anyway because he don't even care about losing.
Yeah, he's tranquilo. The thing about NXT is they have such a big roster right now. It's sometimes like, where are certain people? Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it. You said they're in Brooklyn this time.
Yeah.
NXT, okay, that should Brooklyn be a really good crowd.
Yeah, like they what was their card last year, since you want to bring up Brooklyn? Let's see. Okay. Ember Moon, Billy Kay. I think that was Ember Moon's debut. I think that was her debut when she arrived here. Bobby Roode versus Almas, and I think that was his debut also. Let me check. Ember Moon. Okay, I'm gonna just say it was their debuts because I swear I don't remember them being there. The Revival versus DIY. That one was really, really good. That was a match of the night. I do remember that. And then they had a better match at Toronto. Asuka defeated Bayley, and poor Bayley, she's just getting. Man, remember when she was great? See, now I have to have that conversation.
Make Bayley great again.
Yeah.
Fix Bayley again.
Oh my God, what the fuck is wrong with Vince? He looks at these guys and goes, well, I don't care what happened in NXT, I'm just going to do my thing. So he'll take someone who's over as fuck, ready to beat a blow and just destroy them.
This one, she's just injured, you know? She just really got hurt. It was just bad timing.
Yeah, I felt bad because it sucks because of that. But they still were booking her terribly.
Yeah, but she was like the best thing in NXT. She was literally going to make so much money on the main roster, and it's just she did beat the streak of Charlotte's pay per view streak, and she did win at WrestleMania, which she can say she successfully defended her title at Mania. She can say that, but. Is she still better than everyone? Because I don't think so. I think they really ruined that chick, unfortunately. But is there anything y'all want to bring up?
I guess we should just go into news.
News.
Go right ahead.
Let me hit the depressing news real quick so we can get over this, okay?
Someone died? Sure.
All right, you guys are familiar with Japanese wrestler Yoshihiro Takayama?
Oh, yeah.
Big dude, MMA, blonde hair.
Yeah.
He's paralyzed from a spinal injury.
Yeah, that's a damn shame.
Yeah. He's in pretty bad shape. His wife's at his side right now, so we're hoping he gets well here. Takayama's a badass, so yeah, that sucks. Alright, so I'm just gonna shout out the little bit of news I have. I'm pretty sure one of these you might actually have, Doomsday. Yeah. But there was that David Crosby thing on Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay. David, was it like, something about how WWF fans can't read? Okay, and then they were like, it's not called WWF in the last 15 years, get your jokes straight.
Here's the quote. WWF, to those of us who can read and write, is words with friends, not wrestling. First of all, WWF hasn't been around as a wrestling company since, what, is 16?
2002, 2003?
Yeah, it's been about 15 years.
Yeah, 15, 16 years, right? And it's World Wildlife Fund now. So, and then... And another thing, he brings up freaking Words with Friends. Like, people still play that shit. Like, that shit was, like, popping, like, maybe 2-3 years ago.
Right.
Like, people still play it, but, like, no one really fucks with it like that anymore. Like, see, that's how you know that he's an old motherfucker. He's like one of those, like, people you know on, like, older people you know on Facebook. They always get, like, the memes and the jokes, like, months late. It's like, he's like that.
I only got a shit 15 years late. Motherfucker. But yeah, born in 1941.
People were shitting on him. But people were, like, completely shitting on him. Not even, like, cursing him out or anything. Just, like, basically just digging into him, like, eloquently, like, saying, like, yeah,
like, they get your mean shit right, man. What the fuck?
Like, we can obviously read because we're responding to your dumbass comment.
Right.
Yeah.
Stupid.
All right, a couple other things. Apparently, WWE has canceled some WWE show NXT Insider for budget cut reasons.
Oh, that thing. Oh, okay. Because, like, I've only seen a few, like, of those. I didn't even know those existed until, like, a few weeks ago. I'm not gonna lie. And I watch NXT all the time. That shit was on, like, on YouTube.
Oh, well, yeah, apparently, according to this, their profits were $30 million, and the numbers are way down from this time last year. The company's not in financial trouble, but there is some disappointment in the WWE Network subscriber numbers because the big subscriber growth expected after WrestleMania was nowhere what they were expecting. That's because people wanted to watch WrestleMania. WrestleMania was over, so they went back to not caring until Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Right? That's just what we do.
Yeah.
All right. In some other kind of annoying sexual harassment kind of stuff, apparently some fan at one of those CFW shows, I think, or one of, I don't know if it was the Hollywood thing or the Mid-Atlantic show. I don't know.
CWFH or some shit?
No, I think it was CFW then.
Oh, no, CW, this is CW, it's still CWF, but
it has an H on it, okay.
CWFH is the Hollywood one, and the CWF is the one that's Mid-Atlantic shit.
Yeah, I think it might have been the Mid-Atlantic one, but apparently some fan secretly recorded a woman's behind, he posted it on Twitter, and then the head of the company gave it a like, and some of the women are like, why the fuck are you doing that?
Oh my god.
And then he went into how, oh, I didn't realize this was a women's issue.
Oh my god.
And then they kind of got it, and then one of the women I follow on Twitter, who's seriously liberal, apparently she started getting harassed by wrestlers from the company because of this.
Oh my god.
And on top of which, then Disco Inferno's bitch ass started.
Yes, I was about to make that comment, yeah.
Yeah, someone said, "Well, you should send me pictures and video of hot women at indie shows. I'll shout you out on the podcast."
Like, yeah,
really? Like,
I saw
really,
that.
Dude? Like, come on, man.
How old is that guy?
Jeez.
Too old to be being a bitch like this. And that's, I was just listening to Killing the Town, and Lance Storm and Don Callis were ripping into Disco Inferno for other reasons, too. Because Disco was acting all happy that he was, quote unquote, right about how stiff Kenny Omega or a Japanese wrestler is, because Kenny Omega might have knocked out Evil, even though he apparently didn't. And they were like, fuck this guy who's, first of all, you're not right. He didn't knock him out. And secondly, why are you happy that someone almost got knocked out in a match? Apparently he hates Japanese wrestling, and then they went on about the fact that he hates women's wrestling too, and apparently said that all women wrestlers should just stick to being strippers.
Yo, he...
Aww.
Disco Inferno's a bitch, and the one sad thing about him is that he thinks that he was big shit just because he got paid good money in WCW and whatnot.
Yeah, but he never drew money. But that's why he needs to shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
he didn't draw anything. He was Disco Fever.
He was a secondary attraction, and I admit I liked Disco Inferno back when I was watching him, but listen to him now makes me just like, fuck this guy. He apparently has a wrestling school too, but yeah. And then Landstorm was shitting on that. Is like, well, first of all, why does Disco Inferno have a wrestling school, and what the hell is he teaching these people?
Yeah, fuck yeah. Shit, you might as well, like, you got a better shot at being trained by Gilbert. And actually, he has done a pretty decent job out in the Maryland area of training people.
And Conan was on the show, and even though he didn't insult Disco, he did point out that Disco doesn't know shit about Japanese wrestling. And I was actually great to hear Disco actually, I mean not Disco, Conan actually not just shout out the classic Japanese male wrestlers, but he also mentioned how important the female wrestlers from Japan were, because like I said, Disco is a bitch.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I think that might be it for anything newsworthy.
Yeah,
at least on my side.
Yeah, let's get to the stuff with WWE. Two departures. Ho-Ho Loon was released.
Why didn't think they was going to use him on live anyway?
Yeah, the last match he had was, I believe he had a match on NXT like a couple weeks ago. And that was it. And who else? And then Eva Marie's contract expired. And she left from the company.
No, I was going to make money with her.
I love Rusev's tweet about that.
Oh, about the legends?
Yeah.
It's legends retiring. It took me a while to get and realize that it was her he was talking about.
That was funny.
Man. Shit. And besides that, of course, Kyle O'Reilly was officially signed to NXT. Triple H announced that as being official over the weekend on his Instagram and Twitter and shit. So good on Kyle O'Reilly. I believe he's the first type 1 diabetic to be signed to the company. So,
I didn't realize he was. I think my cousin has that.
Yeah, he got type 1. He got the type that you're born with, and you gotta take special shots and stuff like that.
Yeah, my cousin, she because we were out at the beach, and so she has like a thing connect. Like they sell these packs where you could just kind of tape it to your leg while you're out at the beach and stuff,
and it injects,
like water resistant,
and it kind of like injects you like periodically and shit.
I don't know if that was what it was doing, but I just remember seeing the thing tied to a layer. Like, what's that? It's like, oh, that's my shot thing. I'm like, oh, okay. I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, because they basically need, like, insulin to, like, injections and shit. So, like, they need the shots. So that's one of the things that they have to get. Is that it for... And then also, Ronda Rousey. There was rumors, of course, that she may be wrestling and whatever. There was that whole segment with the Four Horsewomen, both versions of the Four Horsewomen going at each other at the women's tournament, the Mae Young Classic or whatever. They were speculating that Ronda had possibly already started training, but may actually end up training at Brian Kendrick's school, ironically, same place that Eva Marie would choose to train at. So should be interesting to see where that leads. It would be kind of cool if you had a Four Horsewomen versus Four Horsewomen special match down the road, you know?
Yeah.
Bring them all back together.
That could draw some money.
Yeah. That could, because it would actually draw to. I would say people would say like maybe wait for WrestleMania for this shit to happen, but like why wait when you could do it at like say Survivor Series or something? Get people attracted to Survivor Series, you know? They need big a Survivor Series is supposed to be one of those like big pay per views, of course, Royal Rumble. WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, right? But it feels like Survivor Series is almost always overlooked. So, I think that something big like that would be very well needed for Survivor Series.
Yeah, plus, why do you want all the big matches at the same fucking pay-per-view? I mean, I can understand, like, with Wrestle Kingdom, they don't fucking care, because they'll go 6 fucking hours. But it's not WrestleMania. You're only going to do 4 hours, plus a pre-show where half the crowd's not even in there yet.
Yeah.
Right? You should spread out the matches.
Yeah.
I don't need, like, 2 6-hour wrestling shows a year. I'm sorry. I got Wrestle Kingdom for that. So and WrestleMania, but by that time, it's also part of the whole weekday thing, so it's actually 4, 5, 8 hours version of, like, a full 16 hours of wrestling that week.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because, like, you got all the special shit going on in a week, then you got the Hall of Fame, then you got the TakeOver show, and you got WrestleMania.
Yeah. You got whatever documentaries and shit they're showing that weekend.
Yeah, the 24 series and all that shit. Yeah,
and I don't watch any other wrestling other than WWE that week. I don't need a WrestleMania that's 6-7 hours because you decided that all your big draw matches should be on the same show, and then you're only going to give them 10 teams to some stupid backstage segment like 30 minutes to an hour. You're going to ask Flo Rida to come out, do a whole promo thing, so I'll just use the bathroom break. I was waiting for that.
Yeah.
And then after the full rider bit, you got, like, what, 10, 15 minutes of some shit we don't need? Yeah. Oh, God. No, yes, put these matches on fucking Survivor Series. Put them on, well, obviously Royal Rumble's got some good stuff. But, yeah, SummerSlam, Extreme Rules, Money in the Bank, I think of those as, like, secondary, but those are good. Fucking Elimination Chamber, you can put money matches on other pay-per-views. It's not important to put them all on WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Survivor Series would be a good choice, too, because the 4-on-4 thing, that is beautiful.
Yeah, why not?
Might as well.
But WWE is so stupid, they can't even do elimination tag matches, right?
Yeah.
Or two out of three falls, where they have, like, 1 minute of wrestling, and then the first fall happens. Another 2 minutes of wrestling, then the second fall happens, and then they just have a full-on match. Like that ain't different.
Yeah, they did a better job Iron Man matches in WWE than they've done in a lot of different kinds of gimmick matches too.
Yeah.
Make Survivor Series great again.
Yeah, make Massa. Actually,
I'm down with that.
Actually, no, I can't say that. That kind of sounds like I'm a slave, man. Can't say that.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was about to go on a tangent about something else. Never.
Yes, Massa. Anyway.
Well, the whole Confederacy versus Black America thing that's happening in the entertainment world, you heard about that, right?
No. What's going on? Oh. Yeah.
The HBO shows.
Yeah.
Confederacy. And then Black America from Amazon.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Aaron Magruder's doing Black America, too.
Oh, that should be good, just because it's Aaron Magruder.
Yeah, I think he's the co-writer on it or something.
Yeah, he does not, like, Boondocks was dope. Boondocks was dope until I think he kind of left. I think he left by, like, the last season.
I think they did the last season without him.
Yeah, I think they did the last season without him, and it definitely showed. And then what else? Then he had Black Jesus, which was very underrated.
I only watched one or two episodes, but I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was a very underrated show. Very underrated. Charlie Murphy. He was like the main antagonist that whole show. Charlie Murphy. It was great.
It's Magruder and a guy named Will Packer.
Yeah.
I don't know
what his credits are.
I'll look it up right now. But, the Confederacy show was like, look, I like Game of Thrones. I don't want those motherfuckers doing a show where the South won.
I don't know. But, like, when people heard about this Confederacy thing, then they look back at Game of Thrones, and they're like, yeah, it's not surprising with the same dudes that kind of used weird imagery. Because, like, you got the Dothraki, who are the darker folks, who are basically savages, right? And then you got most of the slaves. Most of the slaves in Essos are darker skinned people. darker skinned people. And then the only, like, actual dark skinned dude, like, actual black dark skinned dude you see in the series, he's, like, there for, like, maybe, like, a few episodes. And then he gets locked in, like, a vault and seemingly dies in it. Or whatever. Actually, no, there was another one on a boat, but that was about it. But, yeah.
Okay, Will Packer is basically, he's just a producer. He's produced a lot of, like, comedy, black comedy films, but he's done, like, he produced some Straight Outta Compton 2 and a couple of more serious films. So he's basically just a black, the guy who's been producing a lot of hit black films.
Oh, that's cool.
And black shows. Well, not all of them are hits, but most of these I actually recognize. Oh. We got that recent Girl Trip, which is a huge success.
Yo, Girl's Trip, like I said, was Straight Outta Compton. Shit. Girl's Trip was funny as shit. I saw that on Saturday. Hilarious. So
yeah, my mom
funny.
Saw that. She liked that, so too.
Funny. It was really good.
Think Like a Man, The Wedding Ringer, which I guess wasn't... Well, that was Kevin Hart.
Kevin
so,
Hart,
you know,
yeah.
Right along. So he's done some Kevin Hart films. So basically, you have the powerful black producer, and then you have Aaron Magruder on Black America.
Oh, that should be cool, man.
Yeah.
But let's keep going with the news and shit, because I got more news going on. Jimmy's Famous Seafood. Everybody knows Jimmy's favorite.
Yeah,
famous.
I heard this. I forgot about this story.
There's like more. There's like a lot of popular wrestlers and stuff that always go to Jimmy's Famous Seafood when they touch down in Baltimore and whatnot. And a lot of them are like sponsored by Jimmy's Famous Seafood or whatever. So. That one restaurant has, and I think they also do, like, they ship, like, meals, like, prep meals and shit, too. So, like, it's a big thing that they're doing, too. So, GFW, they wanted to get in contact with Jimmy's Famous to do some type of partnership thing, whatever. And the guy running their, Jimmy's Twitter, I believe who's the owner of Jimmy's, he flat out said no, and even screenshotted the DM, basically said the only reason that I'm saying no to this is because you guys will refuse to release, stop with your litigation with the whole broken gimmick and stuff. Basically,
I thought this was going to be about them, the guy calling John Cena, never mind.
Oh, that no! I was about to bring up that they said that guy. Has
oh, so
said
there, you
in
got
the
a
past,
whole mess
too.
Of Jimmy Seafood stuff on here.
No,
then.
No, no. You can go ahead and say that.
No, no, no. You go. That's all I remember.
Because no, that's all I remember. Because yeah. After that, so I thought it was funny that they like did that, and of course Matt Hardy shouted them out and whatnot. But and in turn, it also like that Jimmy Famous Seafood. Thing also harkened me back to like I think it was only like a week or two ago that people brought it up that like yeah the guy who owns Jimmy's Famous Seafood is a scumbag and says stupid shit on Twitter because like it wasn't the actual like Jimmy's Famous Seafood Twitter it was like I think it was his own personal Twitter. That he was doing it on, but people knew it was him or something. That it was him or something like that. So, like, what did he call John Cena?
Starts with an A and ends with an agate.
Oh yeah, yeah. Shit.
Starts with an A.
It
no, sorry. Starts with an F and ends with an agate.
A yeah. A. Yeah.
I was
yeah.
like, what?
Yeah, man. Throwing the F word. That's terrible, man. But like, yeah. So, yeah. Apparently that guy's a piece of shit, so...
I see, like, I had heard of Jimmy Seafood, I was like, I wonder how that food is. Now I'm like, man, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
It's sort of like the Papa John's guy. I had Papa John's once, and I was always like, man, why don't I ever go back to Papa John's? Because there's one close to my house.
Yeah.
And then I just remember the guy's, like, a conservative, crazy idiot.
Yeah, somebody put this, like, chart saying, like, basically the Little Caesars guy is a saint and the Papa John's guy is a piece of shit. Which is not surprising for the fact
that... The Little Caesar guy is bad?
No. I said he's a saint.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Well,
I mean, I know he's had some... he's been criticized for some stuff, but I like that he paid for Rosa Parks to move her out to a better house. That, I mean, that is like, well, at least you know he's not really that racist. I mean, he's a white guy racist, but at least he respects black people to some degree.
Right.
But a Papa John's, the Papa John's guy is not surprising because, like, he, like, there was photos of him getting wasted at, like, frat parties while he's, like, freaking 45 years old. Shit, like, come on, dude. Like, you knew this, that dude was trash. But I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, some of those rich guys are like that. I just heard, I don't know if you ever heard of the famous painter Thomas Kinkade. He was, like, 50.
No.
He's on all that shit white people like.
Yeah.
He basically died of alcoholism, but he was supposed to be, like, really Christian. But instead, he was hitting up the strip clubs and the bars. He was crazy.
Oh, the titty bars.
Apparently, he had a deal with Tim Tebow for something. Like, or I don't forget what it was. They were talking about it on this thing I was listening to. And I knew him because my mom has all these puzzles by with his art. I'm like, this is Christian guy is a crazy drunkard. Going out to strip clubs and shit.
Oh, man.
He's pretty gangster, though. Apparently, after he made his big $1 million deal with Hallmark, him and his wife and his business partner came out, there were two limos, and he told his wife to go home in one limo so him and the boys can go out.
That's fucked up.
After he sold himself as a Christian family man, I'm like, really? Shit. That was pretty baller, though, right? I was like, okay, wife, you get to go home with the kids, and the boys are going out.
Yeah, what a scumbag. What a scumbag.
Oh, man. A lot of those people
are. And then, what else happened? Did you hear about the Xavier Woods, plane story?
No, I did not.
I want to pull it up. Let me try to find it. It lasted, like, a few hours. Like, it was, like, I think it was either Monday or Sunday or some shit like that.
Well, while you're looking it up, I can tell the fans that women really like Hiroshi Tanahashi's Instagram. He put up a video of him cutting an apple shirtless, and the girls were going crazy.
I knew it was something simple.
Yeah, Tanahashi knows what the women want. Mm-hmm. I think he said that pretty much. His Twitter is for wrestling. His Instagram is for the fans. Something like that.
Okay. All right. Okay, here is what's going on. Here's basically the whole breakdown of Xavier Woods' crazy experience. It's a series of tweets and shit. It happened about 3 or 4 days ago. About 4 days ago. Currently using Google Translate to explain to the man next to me that they need 8 volunteers or we aren't taking off. Yeah, it was one of those, right? next one, things are breaking down at this gate. 3 flights from the same gate and ours hasn't left yet. People are starting to turn Game of Thrones style. It feels like a brawl may ensue. I'll keep my phone ready in case some World Star stuff happens.
Wow.
People have been clamoring for a manager, and it's not this girl's fault. Someone just said they are gonna write a complaint letter. He said, handwritten, not an email. I've never seen this happen in real life before. It's literally that scene from White Chicks. Oh, man. Mental breakdowns are starting to occur, and a man said he is lifetime executive platinum and will never fly them again. And just yelled at this girl who is working the desk like she purposely made it so we can't get on the plane. This girl, who is made of stone, looked at him and said, okay, I'm sorry that this has happened, sir, but unfortunately there isn't anything I can do to help unless people volunteer to not take the flight. He then starts to yell again, and she politely cuts him off and says, is there anyone who needs help that will speak in a indoor voice? I haven't heard someone say indoor voice since I worked in daycare. I love this. Girl at the desk is giving me life. Then, next, the first F-bomb has been dropped.
Really over that shit.
It's crazy. The first F-bomb has been dropped. This man cursed at the girl at the desk and she walked away. # slobber knocker. The price just got upped to $1,500 after the lifetime executive platinum man got loud about it. people smiled and the F-bomb guy endangered. The people next to me are actually conspiring to try to get people to band together to get him booted off the flight. Game of Thrones, a confirmed... got a confirmed seat on a flight to Montreal tomorrow. But we may need three more pretty soon because this man who dropped the F-bomb may be. So, update. We are delayed due to a weight restriction and need four more. Got four already. Volunteers to not fly. Reward is blah, 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 blah. 1,000. I think the reward is 1,300. A hotel and a woman is breastfeeding and shooting dirty looks at the man who cursed super loud. Carl's starting to turn on him. Is mad jealous, and he still doesn't know people are plotting to force him to volunteer for cursing at the Khaleesi, the desk girl. We are now at $2,000. This is like watching Deal or No Deal. Everyone whispering with their friends. F-bomb guy whispering with no one. I helped an older lady fill out her her declaration card, then watched her in 1 30-second walk, mind you, shun the F-bomb guy, then feign injuries so she could skip the line to speak to our Khaleesi, then proceeded to try to plead her case for why she should get on the plane now. So you got an old lady finessing her way. And then next, she said, I honestly don't know how much time I've got left, so I need to get on this flight. And Khaleesi stonewalled her. So the desk girl was like, nah, I ain't taking this old lady. When the older woman returned to her seat, she laughed and said, I tried the old lady thing, but she wasn't buying it. I have no idea how I was selected to be blessed with all of this ridiculous on this day. Oh man, I can't with what just happened. The Lifetime executive platinum dude just came and gave props to the old lady who faked an injury, and the F-bomb guy saw it and visibly threw a 2-second tantrum. He looks like he wants to fight the old lady for being the cheating baby face. Oh, they said. Also, there's a couple that is happy that they are literally in tears. This girl, she truly is the breaker of chains. The F-bomb guy said something to Khaleesi under his breath. She stopped him and said, "You being rude did nothing to help anyone. Know that." Man in front of me, who also kept his cool, just jokingly said, "Now we are gonna sit here in this plane for another 2 hours. Please, Lord, no." Then breastfeeding mom just got on and walked past F-bomb guy. She mouthed F you as she passed him. How are things still happening? And this is them boarding the plane, finally getting on the plane. So we are about to take off. I am still in awe that this even occurred. Hopefully it's done and a fight doesn't break out in customs. Bye. Oh my god, that's crazy. That is insane, dude. Like, all that shit happened to get on a flight, man. And see, that's why the whole, like, plane system is bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, what? It fucking sucks to get on in the first place, but you gotta deal with delays, you gotta deal with crazy people,
they gotta deal with overbooking. That's been a big problem now. That's been a big problem. They're overbooking flights, so they gotta take people off. That is crazy. And they gotta pay people to get off the plane. that's what they were talking about when they were raising the price. Like, 1,500, 1,300, plus a hotel, $2,000. That shit is crazy. Shit, I'd take that money, because, like, I'd be late for whatever. I don't give a shit. But still, people got places to go. You know?
Yeah.
Shit is insane.
I know they've been talking about doing airplanes where they just take the seats out and make them cheaper or some shit like that.
Yeah.
And I'm
weren't they doing that? Weren't they trying to do that in Asia? Well, there was an Asian company. There was an Asian country that was thinking about doing that, taking all the seats out.
Oh, I just heard it was an American company. I wasn't sure. I was like, look, I hate flying. I thought I ain't gonna fly.
It was definitely
airplane.
It was an Asian airline. I want to say it was Singapore or some shit. I don't know. But it was definitely... I believe it was Asian. But that shit is crazy. They just gonna have, like, arm straps. And you're just gonna, like, hold on to them like you're on a bus.
Colombian.
A Colombian? Oh, shit. Damn.
First of all... I'm not sure I trust an airplane coming out of Colombia.
Yeah.
It's no offense to Colombia, but they are like, I think that's where all the heroin comes from in the world.
Oh, yeah, that was where Pablo Escobar. That's where he came out of, man. Colombia, man. That, you know how poor people are over there? That's why people were so happy to get money from him. Like, shit. Like,
South America is in trouble too. I know Venezuela is currently like in a fucking civil war and shit.
Yo, Venezuela is poor as fuck. Like, they have like waits to get food. Like they have food lines. This shit is crazy.
Yeah, and the food's all overpriced.
Food lines. No, not just overpriced, scarce. So they not only do they barely have food, it's expensive as hell. You fucking dying over there. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, more news. Speaking of transportation, I think you can check out a comedy skit. You find it on like, Twitter. There was a whole bunch of dudes on NYC subway train. They were all dressed like WWE superstars, like Stone Cold and Undertaker and whatever. And they were basically doing a whole big-ass brawl on the subway. I could have sworn that wasn't there a poster, a promo shit for a pay per view that was like that, like in the mid-2000s, early to mid-2000s. I know there was. I forgot what.
For a bunch of guys dressed up as WWE wrestlers?
No. For a pay per view, like a pay per view where, like a pay per view promo shit where they actually had like wrestlers on the trains.
I don't know about WWE pay-per-view. I know there's been Japanese wrestling matches on trains, but I don't know about a pay-per-view that was had a poster for
it. They had an advertisement for it. Like, I forgot which like.
I'm looking up wrestlers on a train, but let's see. Advertisement left. Shit, I don't know. I just brought up fucking Matt Bloom because I guess he was A Train. Alright. If I knew the pay per view, it would probably be easier to look up.
Oh, I think I almost found it. Yeah, there we go. WWE Royal Rumble Train Promo 2008.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking
about. There we go. I knew it.
He ain't crazy.
I knew it, son. I remember these things.
2008 Royal Rumble?
Yeah, 2008 Royal Rumble.
Yeah, when it was on a train.
Yeah, so...
Oh, right. Okay, yeah, I got it up too. 28 seconds in length, all right.
Yeah. But, yeah, so it's always nice to see people doing some dope shit dressed as wrestlers or imitating wrestlers and shit. I remember that one. Remember that one video that came out? I think it was last year where that dude, he was like living in a cul-de-sac. He hops out of a car, and of course you got the glass breaking, and then Stone Cold's thing, and he starts fighting dudes, and then stunners him in the front yard.
That one, I remember that.
Yeah, that one was the greatest. That one was so good. Oh man. After that, my other news. I also talked about, you know, Dawson is injured too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Dawson's
Revival
injured.
About he, to die as well.
Yeah, he tore a bicep or pulled a bicep or some shit. So like he's gonna be out for a while. So like I think they got hit with that elite curse. That elite curse, man. They cursed him, man. The elite cursed him. The elite with Cody Rhodes. They cursed him. They fucked him.
it still amazes me how much the WWE guys get injured compared to a lot of dudes.
Yeah, right.
Like Because I think, like, a lot of, I mean, like, the Mexican guys and the Japanese guys travel almost just as much. But I don't know why they don't get injured as,
yeah, but or maybe they still travel like, less. Don't they, like, but a lot of times, like, they're wrestling, like, how many days a week? Like, somebody.
Well, I know, like, the Mexican, the popular Mexican wrestlers are wrestling about 5-6 times a week.
5-6 times a week? Shit.
Yeah. The Japanese guys, well, depending on where the tour is, I know the New Japan guys are probably doing maybe 3 or 4 times a week, but, I mean, sometimes they give certain guys, like, an extra week or two off.
Yeah.
But then again, with the New Japan guys, I think they handle all their travel and all their boarding expenses. I don't know if that helps or not. So I don't know. I really don't know. That's just really bad. WWE's got, but then you get the guys who get injured, and it doesn't really seem to affect WWE's plans in any really spectacular way either. They weren't really doing much with the Revival, were they?
Not that I know of.
Well, they were... Okay, the Revival were in the middle of a feud with the Hardys.
Okay.
And that would have been a SummerSlam match. Hardys versus the Revival.
Dude, so, we're gonna have to figure out what the hell this SummerSlam card is. They keep having to change it.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy, man. Some crazy shit.
What other news you guys got?
All right. Of course, one of the major news that happened over the weekend involving social media was the Mustafa Ali Mr. 450 incident.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did you catch the Shannon Moore addition to that?
No. So let's just talk about everything that's going on.
Yeah.
Then we'll jump into other people chiming in. So basically, yeah, Mustafa Ali was just basically just decided he was gonna subtweet at first and say like, yeah, I'm tired of dudes stealing my moves and shit, especially dudes I don't like, blah blah blah, and then. I think 450 caught wind of it, started talking his shit. Mustafa Ali posted a video of him, the move in question or some shit like that. And it was a back and forth. After a while, like, Mustafa Ali started accusing him. Not accusing him. Well, because apparently he's been in trouble for a hit, like, choking a woman, Mr. 450.
WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah. So.
And it was a female wrestler who was his girlfriend.
Yeah, right. And then, so he brought that up, and it was just a big mess. 450 got so upset that he just straight up blocked Mustafa Ali. And that only ramped up Mustafa even more after he found out he blocked him, because, like, Mustafa started adding him. It basically poking and prodding for, like, a good while. People were chiming in, and it was just a big fucking mess. One person who praised him for it was Nicole Matthews. Praised Mustafa Ali for saying what he said and whatnot. Who was the wrestler that was his girlfriend anyway?
I believe that her name was Lindsay something. I can look it up. I saw a couple other wrestlers give him the props on that, too.
Yeah, who else?
I didn't see Nicole Matthews.
Yeah, Nicole Matthews.
I saw Cedric Alexander.
Oh, really? Okay, so that makes sense.
Well, he did a couple of gifts. One saying, like, you know, saying, oh, I want to listen to this. And then Mustafa Ali was like, do you ever want to wrestle him? And then he gives that gift where the guy looks at the camera and kind of looks the other way. You know the one, right?
Yeah, that's
how it is. And a local, I think, Midwest wrestler named Gringo Loco was saying, yeah, he's right about this. And before this happened, I had heard that Mecha Wolf didn't really get booked in a lot of places. And whenever I hear that, I just assume that there's a problem.
But he has buddies. He has buddies in the industry, like, in the indie scene. Because, like, I think he's cool with that JML crew. Whatever, you know, with Sami Callihan, Shane Strickland, all those dudes. Desmond Xavier and all those guys.
Well, he might be, but they're not getting him booked in any place seriously because bookers don't like him.
Yeah. And then,
because Sami Callihan runs like two different companies that don't book him.
Don't book him, yeah. And then,
because Sami Callihan's the booker in CZW and I believe Pro Wrestling Revolver or some shit like that.
I think so.
I'm looking for his girlfriend. Okay, I thought it was Lindsay Snow, but yeah, her name's Lindsay Snow.
Okay.
But, yeah, did you see, like I said, Shannon Moore jumped into this too?
Oh, what did you say?
Oh, did you know already know?
No, I didn't know. What did he say?
Oh, because, Mecha Wolf started talking some shit about this, and then somehow it got to fucking Shannon Moore, and I couldn't understand Shannon Moore's things, but Shannon Moore was going off on Mecha Wolf saying that everybody got pretty much saying that he fucking dirt on Mecha Wolf too.
Oh fuck.
let me see if I can find the Shannon Moore Mecha Wolf thing. I mean, because like obviously Shannon Moore's Twitter, I couldn't really understand most of what he said, but I could tell that he knows Mecha Wolf and thinks Mecha Wolf's a bitch.
Yeah. While you're doing that, I can continue on with it. One thing that was noted that Mr. 450 had tweeted to an attorney after all this went down. And it was the attorney who has repped Alberto and Paige in the past. And I believe he's also represented other wrestlers in and bogus cases and shit. So he's just like a lawyer who's a wrestling fan that just gives them cases for dumb shit. So I don't know if he's going to try to, like, sue fucking Mustafa Ali for, like, libel or slander or some shit. Or whatever. But that's what it was looking like. And besides, and while all this shit that was going on during the day, it was also announced that Mustafa Ali's finisher is now called the 054. 054? Yeah, the 054, because it's inverse.
Flip it backwards, yeah. Alright, I have the Shannon Moore tweets. I can't really understand them, but the gist of it is he pretty much calls him, says he was taking shots on his pussy boy fake account, how he was tagging random people, WWE, TNA, and Lucha Underground. No, pictures don't lie. I'm assuming there's pictures of him doing some stupid shit. And he says he played stupid games, he was trying to scam WWE, and then he was asking for peace, but he keeps making people into his enemies.
Oh, yeah.
He said something about trying to use my ex to get a job. Fuck you, 450. Should I post your fat pics on you battering women, you shitbag? Told you not to fuck with me.
Oh, fuck. And then, the WWE thing was interesting, because I think he had gotten injured, and he tried to sue WWE because trying to, like, allege that it was under their watch that he got injured or some shit like that?
Yeah, even though some people believe he was actually injured before the match and he just sort of took advantage of it.
Yeah. He tried, so basically he tried to finesse them and they weren't having it.
Yeah. But now you got multiple people saying, yeah, he hits women. I mean, because that woman I was talking about who got harassed by, you know, the seat whatever guys.
Yeah.
Apparently she has met, she heard about this and she was saying, yeah, Mustafa Ali's right. So I'm assuming he has a bad reputation in the Midwest area. Oh, wow. I mean, because that's kind of, I think she's in like Kentucky or whatever, and that's all part of it. So a lot of those guys who wrestle like AAW or AIW or some of those promotions are all kind of in the same circle of stuff. So, you know, yeah, Mecha Wolf's got a reputation for being a domestic abuser and being an asshole.
And then another person who did not do themselves many favors in jumping into this, the only person who seemed like they were defending him was Leo Rush, of all people. Basically, Leo Rush chimed in and started talking about, like, yeah, he basically subtweeted Mustafa Ali saying it, yeah, it's not cool to, like, use social media for negativity and blah, 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 and putting people on blast and whatever, you know? And then people just, like, bombarded Leo for basically defending him just because he didn't like the way that, like, things were brought to light or whatever.
Hey, this is why Twitter exists.
Yeah. Yeah. This is why
it exists. If you don't want to get dragged, don't be on fucking Twitter.
Yep. Yeah, don't be on Twitter, man.
Yeah.
But even if you're off and then you piss somebody off, you're probably going to be fucked. But yeah, Leah Rush did not do himself any favors with that.
He's going to a company with a zero policy about that shit. You don't want to be defending anybody like
zero
that.
Zero tolerance, and then you're like going against a dude that's pretty popular within the company, even though he's just in the cruiserweight division. People still think highly of him, like Mustafa.
Oh yeah. And plus, he's their first Pakistani wrestler. He's a former police officer.
Yeah.
I mean, I swear to God. I mean, the fact that WWE has a future star in Mustafa Ali if they know how to market him.
Leo Rush, no matter how talented he is, the fact of the matter is that you can pull another fucking Leo Rush out of the indies. So, he may be hot shit in the indies or whatever, but in WWE, they can grab somebody else. Like, if they don't have Leo Rush, they could get Shane Strickland. If they get Shane Strickland, they can get fucking, like, AR Fox or somebody, or whoever.
Yeah, I mean, there is a wealth of great black high flyers.
Yeah, Desmond Xavier. So, Leo Rush should keep himself, like, in check, because he's expendable. Very expendable. And him being black, Just him being black and short and black, that's not a very great combination for the WWE.
Yeah, I worry about the moment Vince McMahon sees Leo Rush.
Yeah, because I know Triple H hired Leo Rush, and then Vince McMahon's like, what the fuck? Why'd you do this? Send his ass back.
Whereas Mustafa Ali, like I said a couple weeks ago, he came in as a replacement. His ass is, like, higher up than 90% of the people in the CWC.
Yeah. Yeah.
They looked at him and they looked at what he did and who he was and said, you know what? We're going to make you a regular on 205 Live. I don't think he's going to end up being the guy who takes the title off of Neville.
Yeah. You know one dude they should have fucking hired? Raul Mendoza. They should have hired his ass.
He was him on the next NXT tapings.
No, he was on this past NXT tapings. He went against Johnny Gargano in a great match. That was fantastic. I saw that match twice.
I'm really going to have to start watching NXT all the time.
Yeah.
Alright, but yeah, he did go to do, a Noah tour recently as well.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I guess Phoenix might be going to do a Noah tour coming up too.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Noah needs all the help they can get. Though Mara Fucci's been on more primetime television than fucking Hideo Itami has, which I find weird.
Yeah, that's funny. Oh, man. But, alright, what else happened? Going to more social media related shit. Leo Rush, again. He was also in some controversy later in the day. It was like at the night because it was CZW Once in a Lifetime. He was from Joey Janela in an infamous match where there was a spot where they had a ladder. Joey Janela was on the ladder. Leo Rush was punching him, but like Joey Janela got him in a powerbomb position and powerbombed him off of the ladder. And as he powerbombs him, he gets up. Leo Rush gets right back up from a powerbomb
off a ladder.
No, not just a powerbomb off a ladder. You haven't seen this?
No.
Holy no! Not only a powerbomb off a ladder, a powerbomb off a ladder into a fucking table. He got up and nuzzled that shit. Not only that, no, and it makes it, and it gets worse. Like, that was one angle where, like, they had, there was another clip from it, like, that I saw, because I didn't watch that shit, live or whatever. And after he no-sold that shit, Joey Janela popped back up, puts Leo Rush in the fucking, in a pile driver position, hits him with a package pile driver, and fucking Leo Rush kicks out of the pin after that.
That's broken.
broken as fuck.
Leo Rush has done more to kill the business than Joey Ryan has.
Most definitely, dude. But, like, yeah, they got... It definitely got some people, like, talking. Some people were annoyed, of course. Some people thought it was cool. Some people thought it was funny. Whatever, man. I don't know. But, yeah, I don't know. So, I'm a little indifferent to it. Shit like that, I'll laugh at. But I'm in the middle. Like, I don't hate it, and I'm not clamoring to watch that type of shit all the time.
Yeah, I looked at it just now. My problem with that is it gets to the point, there's no protected finishers now. At least on the indie scene. I mean, in Japan, when you say, okay, this is my finisher, the only time anyone's going to kick out of the finisher now is if it's a guy who's more top than you are.
Yeah.
And you have to, like, get permission. Like, you know, no one's really kicked out of Tanahashi's high fly flow. Or even in Mexico, like, some of their finishers. Even, like, the super reverse suplex that Ultimo Guerrero do. Those moves are mostly protected. But you look at, like, the American indie scene, they're like, nah, son, nothing's protected. We kicking out of everything. So it's like, sometimes it's kind of weird, like, why are you kicking out of a powerbomb through a table and a package pile driver? Oh, it's the indie wrestling. It's interesting, but it's also then when they do their whack-ass finishers, their finisher will generally be whack, you're like, yeah, okay. I don't know. Come on, indie scene, I love you, and I protect, and I stand up for you when I can't, and, but there are some times where they're right, like, you could have sold the fucking powerbomb through the table off the ladder.
You
could have sold that. I'm fine with you kicking out of the package piledriver. I think it's kind of stupid, but I can buy it. But not after a powerbomb through a fucking table.
Through a fuck table.
A few seconds first.
Yeah. At least a few seconds. Don't be an asshole about it.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of those moves where you can do it, they can rest for 3 seconds, and then you can pin him, and you can go like, well, he didn't pin him quick enough, right? His ass just stood up, like, what? And then the package pile driver, I'm like, that, no, yeah. That was a little much.
Oh, man.
But he ain't gonna be no-selling shit like that in WWE.
Yep, yeah, hell no, they ain't tolerating that bullshit.
Nah.
It's like, we got zero tolerance against domestic violence accusations and no selling. We ain't having that, any of that type of shit in the house.
Yeah, if John Cena can sell some shit, you're gonna have to learn to sell shit.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. And an unrelated note, and non-wrestling note, I just saw some pictures of Bobby Shmurda and Rowdy Rebel. And they're looking real fit in jail.
When are they getting out?
I don't know. I think Bobby Shmurda, he got about 4 or 5 years left. Because when they first sentenced him, like, they gave him the time that he was already in jail as part of it. So, like, they're like, all right, we sentence you to this amount, but we're gonna cut it based off how much time you've already been in here. Whatever. But yeah. Free Bobby.
Hey, hurry up and free that man. Lord.
Hurry up. And one other thing, of course, Shane Strickland sent a tweet. I just wanted to get everybody's input on this. He said, like, for wrestling, the internet has been a blessing and a curse. A blessing and a curse.
Yeah, it is. You saw how Vader got mad at Ricochet and Will Ospreay. It was a blessing to us.
These people watching, like, a GIF or a small promo and think that's the entire fucking match. Like, calm the fuck down.
I don't know. Yeah. Man. But yeah, like... But there's a lot of layers to the internet and its influence in wrestling these days, you know? Because, like, of course, like, the biggest, like, I mean, the original, like, influence was, like, Dirt Sheets. dirt sheets were like everywhere online or whatever. People looking up shit, spoilers, backstage shit, whatever. And then social media happened. Then basically, like, if kayfabe wasn't broken already, it's broke as fuck now. Because everybody's just doing whatever the fuck they want.
I think everyone apparently has a breaking point with kayfabe, because Lance Storm said for him, kayfabe broke when Vince McMahon admitted on television, and Bret Hart admitted on television, how the finish of the Montreal Screwjob was supposed to go and what happened. To him, that's what killed kayfabe. He said after that point, he didn't feel the need to defend it. So yeah. I think it breaks for everyone. Yeah, the thing that gets me is people who break in kayfabe and then are mad that kayfabe is broken.
Yep.
Like Jim Cornette's probably broke kayfabe a few times when he got involved and fought a Ninja Turtle or some shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, fuck him. I mean, yeah, if you break kayfabe at least once, you shouldn't complain about that to me. I mean, and I get it. But that's not really social media's fault. That was, to me, a lot of the breaking of kayfabe is WWE's fault before social media was a thing.
Yeah, WCW too, to an extent. Yeah, they did. I mean, they did their
first. They put Dennis Rodman and Karl Malone in the ring. I'm sorry.
Don't forget Jay Leno.
The No Limit crew.
Yeah. The bout it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I would say the Insane Clown Posse, but they were actually decent wrestlers because they would get their asses kicked and you weren't sure if they were really getting their asses kicked or they were just selling. Like when, was it Mike Awesome did the power on top of a bus on them once? Shit.
I thought that wasn't an Insane Clown Posse guy. I thought that was like, one of the dudes from, fuck, what was that? What was that one crew? Public Enemy? Because I could have gone there in WCW at some point. You know, the Public Enemy, the ECW tag team.
Yeah, no, I thought that was, I'm going to look it up too. I thought it was the Insane Clown Posse WCW boss. I'm going to put that on here and see what the fuck. Why do you auto-fucking-correct me, you stupid auto-correct shit on fucking YouTube search? What the hell is that bullshit? Even if I'm wrong, you know what the fuck I'm talking about. Okay, yeah, it was Insane Clown Posse on a bus.
Oh, it was, okay.
Yeah. Because it's Insane Clown Posse versus Mike Awesome, there's a bus picture on it. Alright.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah, alright, you're right.
Apparently, you're right. Fucking YouTube is screwed up right now. I don't know. Alright.
Yeah, kayfabe. But then, of course, then you got the voice of the fans has become louder with social media. And now it feels like social media, us, we have more power, quote unquote. You know?
Yeah.
Like we have more influence on what is, like, what we want to see and whatnot. So that in itself is a blessing and a curse or whatever, you know? Because in the end of the day, we kind of want what we want, but we don't know what we want.
We want something, collectively. But we don't want that. But we don't want what they pick us.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything's like a two-edged sword with that.
Yeah.
It's just the way things are. They have to adapt. I get sometimes fans are just complete and utter assholes, but it also says how much assholes that the wrestling and the promoters can be, too.
Yeah. But, yeah, that was about it for what I want to discuss, news and all that jazz that was going on. So, yeah.
Wes, you got anything?
I ain't got nothing. I finished.
Well, all I got is the cards for the shit. All this time, I forgot one card. Boy. The cards for the weekend, that's the... Well, of course you know, that's all I really got. For Evolve 90 and Evolve 91, and Doomsday, you say you're going to be for 90? That's the Joppa one?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'll be at Joppa. Twice. So I'll be at Joppa.
Oh, right.
Because I'll be at Joppa for the Evolve show, and I'll be at again for the MCW show, final hour for Leo Rush's last MCW match.
Okay.
Against hometown hero, the Bruiser.
Ooh.
The Bruiser. Apparently it's fan appreciation night too. So that should be
interesting. Maybe you might hit a lick or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I hope I get some freebies, man. I want some freebies. Like from wrestlers I don't know and don't care about. I just want to go to the MCW show just to boo Leo Rush.
Damn, Walt, that's what he's getting paid to do, right?
Yeah, man. I'm getting paid to get a reaction. I'll give it to you. I'm not going to be obnoxious with it and chant some random shit, because I'm not an asshole, but I'll definitely boo the shit out of you.
All right. Well,
I reserve the right. All right, that Evolve show.
All right, so the Evolve show is happening. Is Evolve 90. This is going to be in Joppa. The matches that they have here, they said Anthony Henry and Great World Defender tag team titles. Austin Theory versus Jason Kincaid. Ethan Page and ACH will face Chris Dickinson and Jaka. And I believe Page and ACH are going to face off on the next show, I think.
Yeah.
Timothy Thatcher going up against the Limitless 6-3. Keith Lee, Bass to My Glory.
Yes.
That should be really fun. The non-title bonus event match. WWN champion Matt Riddle going up against your boy Leo Rush. And for the Progress Atlas Championship, Walter defends his title against Fred Yeha.
Big Daddy Walter.
Mm-hmm. He's huge.
Formerly known as Big Daddy. I don't know why he just went with Walter.
Not Big Daddy.
Yeah, no, because he used to go against Big Daddy Walter, and now he's just Walter.
We might be getting ready for WWE. You know they like to bring everything to one name.
Yeah.
Soon Roderick Strong is just going to be, Roderick. Or just Strong. I don't know. For Evolve 91.
Yeah, they're not going to call him Strong at his size.
Fuck no.
They're going to call him something. I don't know.
Roddy.
Ethan Page will face ACH, right? I said that. And Timothy Thatcher will face Darby Allin.
Allin was still there.
I thought they killed that guy like two times over.
He's not going to stop until he's dead.
Austin Theory versus Mark Haskins. Chris Dickinson and Jaka going up against Travis Banks and TK Cooper with Dahlia Black. And for the WWN title, a fatal four-way match between Tracy Williams. Big Daddy Walter? Is that it?
Yeah, Big Walter.
Him, Keith Lee, and defending champion Matthew Riddle. And those will be Evolve shows for this weekend. On Saturday, Progress Wrestling comes all the way from the UK to the NYC. They don't really have a title for the show, just Progress in New York. A team match between Jenny and Deonna Purrazzo going up against Dahlia Black and Dakota Kai. For the WWE United Kingdom Championship, champion Pete Dunne going up against Jack Gallagher, who's returning to Progress. Number one contenders match for the Atlas Championship, Timothy Thatcher versus Donovan Dijak. Triple threat match between Mark Haskins, Zach Gibson, and Mark Andrews. Was all of them in the UK tournament? Mark Haskins.
Haskins wasn't.
But Gibson and Andrews was. Okay. Yeah. No disqualification match. Joey Janela going up against Jimmy Havoc. For the tag team championship. BSS, who is British Strong Style, of Tyler Bate and Trent Seven going up against SPPT. I believe it's Travis Banks and TK Cooper. And I believe that's it. That is Progress, because you know they like to say this. Yeah. And for the Atlas Championship, Matt Riddle going up against your boy, big Daddy Walter. And he's fucking huge because he got the whole picture.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. That's all I got. And if that's all you guys got, we can end this madness.
Stop the madness.
Yeah.
Alright.
First of all, Pickle Rick was awesome on Rick and Morty, if you didn't
Pickle
see that.
Pickle Rick.
Matter
of fact, I just started watching Rick and Morty not too long ago.
Really?
Yep, just started. And I believe Pickle Rick happened after I was done season 2, because I saw Tiny Rick. That was actually freaking hilarious.
Tiny Rick and Pickle Rick.
Pickle Rick, yeah, I heard you gotta have a strong stomach for Pickle Rick, but I know it was trending, I can't wait to see it.
That reminds me, Evil trended after he beat Okada.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah.
But I have been watching Rick and Morty on DVD, so this is the first season I'm following as it's playing.
I did not know they skipped a year. Like, they started, 2013, 14?
Yeah, they did take a good break for a while.
Well, it's not like how Venture Brothers takes breaks.
Venture Brothers would be taking, 5-year breaks and shit.
Right.
Yeah. And, what was the other one? Voltron Season 3 is out. It was pretty good until they decided to cut it in half.
Really?
Yeah, it did 6 episodes, and then it ended like, well, I'm going to go take a break, and then a trailer came up for the season 4. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean? That was episode 6!
Yeah, I haven't finished season 2 yet. What else came on Wet Hot American Summer 10 years later came out last Friday. That was good. I watched that whole thing. Yeah.
And I think Defenders is on next week, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It is 18th, right? Yeah, 18th. I've seen some reviews for it, and it's been mixed.
Well, it's better than the Inhumans reviews.
Yeah.
The Inhumans reviews have been, this is the most horrible thing that Marvel has ever done.
Yeah. I don't know. What else? And then, speaking of Marvel, guys, Chadwick Boseman had a movie debut on Netflix last week called Message from the King. I haven't seen it yet, but it looks dope. Basically,
he's also playing Thurgood Marshall in a movie. Yeah. It's like the third biopic he's done.
Yeah, people aren't really fond of him playing it, apparently. I don't know why. I guess because of his action? Or the way...
Is he too dark?
Yeah, he's too dark. Because Thurgood Marshall's a light-skinned dude.
Okay, so this is weird. First thing of when Zoe Saldana what was it, Nina Simone?
Oh, and is she blackened her skin?
They had to darken her up.
That was almost blackface. You can barely call it blackface just because she's a black Hispanic.
Yeah. They can whatever random black person they want or half black person they want for roles, and they're not really thinking about it. Hollywood racism.
Racism.
End the show, goddammit.
All right.
Yeah, plugs, of course. Rantian Radio. You can check out Rantian Radio's Twitter, rantianradio.com. Of course, they have their live tab where the show stream live, ours, which airs Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Of course, you got The Rant as the flagship show, Freaks and Other Geeks, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, and you can also check out their archive of episodes of whichever one you choose. For me, doomsday519.tumblr.com, at Joey Doomsday on Twitter, Doomsday space 519 on YouTube as my primary channel, secondary channel, Doomsday Gorilla, spelled as in PWG's Gorilla. Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram and at Joey Doomsday 519 on Snapchat.
Yes. All right, and it's westside.gov. There you go.
Yeah, you can.
What? You're plugging something?
Yeah, he's plugging.
Just the Instagram.
And you can find Pootie at NNZ Podcast.
You just want to do it for me.
Yep.
All right. Oh, well, maybe they'll listen to you because they ain't listening to me. Alright, so this is the end of the show. If you don't like us, come catch us in the ring. Steel K-Batch and Joppa, Evolve Show, Doomsday will see you.
I will never forget that. Remember the ladder match to Joppa? It was fucking Matt Hardy versus Luke Hawks for the for the Extreme Rising title.
Extreme Rising
that,
title.
That didn't exist, that promotion that didn't exist anymore. Remember? That shit was a hot mess. Extreme Rising.
Oh my god. The ladder was basically touching the ceiling.
And the ladder was... the ceiling was way too low. Oh man.
All right, man. Can you direct us out, man? Because we gotta get
right. All right. There's like this weird team called the Metro Brothers.
What the fuck? Come on.
It looked like there's a fake Domino.
Why do they act like they haven't read? All right. Hey.
Hey. Smoke weed every day.
Smoke weed every day.